Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1. The subject today is comfort, the thing everyone wants. The thing everyone wants. Well, beloved in the Lord, the Heidelberg Catechism is an accurate summary of what the Bible teaches. It's not the Bible, but it's a summary of what the Bible teaches. The Heidelberg Catechism is unique in its approach to teaching. The Heidelberg Catechism, we say, is very, very personal. It begins with the presupposition of what you need and then proceeds to tell you how to get it and how to enjoy it and how to use it. Now, your greatest need, according to the Catechism, and most would agree, is for comfort. Knowing that you are secure, that you are secure in body and in soul. So the Catechism shows you how you can get that true comfort, and that true comfort in this life and even in death. Now, you heard maybe this past week a report from the Star that says since the lockdown, 10% of Canadian adults have contemplated suicide. Why? Because something was missing. Something is missing. There's a comfort that was lacking. And that's why it's all the more important to get this message today. Now, to get that comfort, you must know the doctrines. You must believe these doctrines. And you must evidence these doctrines by obedience. You must show that you really believe the doctrines you're going to learn, and that must be clear in your life. It must be evidence by obedience. In this first sermon, you will see the foundation of how you get this true comfort and how you keep this true comfort through life and in death. Our headings are, you need true comfort. It's very simple. Now it's presented this time. You need true comfort. Second, Jesus gives you true comfort. And then third, the Holy Spirit maintains true comfort. You need true comfort. Jesus gives it to you. The Holy Spirit maintains it. Our goals are that you will be comforted knowing what Christ has done for you, and you will then love Him and live for Him. Loving, of course, is expressed in your living. So there's a question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Together, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. So, you need true comfort. There is an undeniable natural craving for comfort in man. The problem is, no man naturally has that comfort. We are restless from birth. From birth. It is not innate to our nature. So man, knowing that it's not in him and it's not natural, he must look outside for that comfort. Now, it is true that some don't admit that they need comfort. That's because they are proud. Pride overwhelms them, and they think, I don't need that. I don't need somebody to take care of me. I don't need someone to give me that comfort. But the truth is, if you let someone get a few alcoholic drinks and you start to talk to them, you seem they're more readily admitting the longings of their souls, as studies have shown. There is that longing for comfort, whether people like to admit it or not. Now, others might say, I don't need anything because I have many things that make me happy. But being happy on a temporal level is not evidence of true comfort. Comfort is different from temporary euphoria. These people may have the luxury box watching the hockey game or the basketball game. They may have the Lexus in the garage. They may have a secure job that pays them a lot of money. They may have the best-looking family or the best girlfriend that money could buy. They may have enough to retire at age 55, which is the new go-to thing. Freedom 55, they call it. And they think, if I have those things, I will have comfort. The problem is that is temporary, but more, those things can go suddenly. The sports team might start losing, and who wants to go watch a losing team playing over and over again? The Lexus might get stolen, or the family breaks up, and then the girlfriend maybe finds someone who is better looking, or maybe someone who has more money, and the company you work for may fall apart, or may somebody might rip off the company, and the whole thing falls apart. Then where does the comfort come from? Even that fake comfort. The comfort disappears. We need it. It's temporary. It's fake. And then it's gone. You can summarize the false sources of true comfort under the following three headings: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. The lust of the flesh, which is illicit satisfaction of the flesh. The most common type of lust of the flesh in the Bible is the craving for food. Eating too much or eating inappropriate things. And then there's a lust for intimacy with someone who is not your spouse. People look to those for comfort and find out that they're not a permanent source or of real comfort. There's lust of the eyes, which is a craving for earthly things, things that don't belong to you. It's covetousness. You look and see, especially this time of the year, when you see people are sporting all the fancy things and expensive gifts, you wish you could have that lust of the eyes. And then there's pride. The pride of life, or a better word would be presumptuousness. Thinking that you are greater than you are, then God must acquiesce. God must give in to your desires. And you think, if God gives you whatever you want, then you will have comfort. But all these things, they are appealing, and they promise much, but they always fail to deliver in the long term. And by the way, these three things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, these are like the devil's go-to candy for adults. You know, if you wave one of those candy cane in front of children, you will see the attraction to it. And we will show some of the candy cane after the service, and you will see the kids' attraction to it. And that's what the devil does for grown-ups. He doesn't use candy cane, but he uses lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And adults go towards it because it provides that fake sense of comfort. But what happens when the child finishes eating the candy? He needs more. And the same thing with adults. So that's the problem. You need comfort, and you don't find it in your job, in your spouse, in your money, or any of those things. You have to go to Jesus. Point number two, Jesus gives you comfort. You belong to Him. He knows you. He loves you. And you belong to Him, as our catechism says, body and soul, in life and in death. Look at 1 Corinthians in your sermon notes, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Let's read those together. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God through Jesus Christ, and He lives in you. You understand this concept well in a marriage. There is a desire in women to be close with their husbands. It's a natural desire. They know that their husbands will protect them, even die for them. And men know that full well. They would be ready to die to protect their wives. And this is a picture of how Christ protected His church. He gave His life so that we could get eternal life. We could have that security. We could have that comfort that only He could give that will last forever. Now look at Romans chapter 14, verse 7, 8, and 9 together. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. That's the source of your comfort. That's the one that no one can take away. You can't get fired as you might from a job. You can't get divorced like you might get from a spouse. And because you now belong to Jesus, your Savior, you have this true comfort. Now, sometimes people say, well, I don't have any problems with that real problems with that lusting thing or being covetous. But there are other things that could put you in trouble. Knowing Reformed doctrines is good, even great, but it doesn't remove your sins. Reformed doctrines don't remove your sins. So knowledge of the Bible doesn't remove your sins either. Being a good scientist does not save you. Yeah, it's true, scientists, and we admire them. Look at the people who are studying and working on a vaccine for COVID, and they're working at such an alarming pace, and they can do surgeries now without even cutting up your body. Microscopic surgery. Wow, that is so remarkable. But that, of course, gives you some degree of satisfaction that you're able to do, but it doesn't give comfort in life and in death. Even living a moral life, and there are many people who live decent lives. They don't cheat on their wives. They don't steal. They don't kill people. But living a moral life doesn't give that comfort. Yes, society might respect you, and people might say, oh, that's a good man. I see him working faithfully. I see him clearing his snow and cutting his grass and taking care of his property. But that doesn't give you comfort, even the praise of men. You need Christ's work. Let me look at a few passages now from the Scriptures. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. We read together, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So God redeems us, and then he purifies us and equips us to do good work. You talk about comfort. We've been redeemed from the pits of hell. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 together. knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is the work of Jesus. His blood was precious. And it had to be precious so you could become precious to God, so you could have eternal life. 1 John 2:2 together. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What does propitiation mean? It means Jesus satisfied the anger of God, and God can never, ever be angry with you because Jesus took the punishment for your sins. Your wife might get angry with you, your husband might get angry with you, your parents might get angry with you, your boss might get angry with you, the state might get angry with you, and relationship is injured. But our Lord God in heaven put all his anger upon Jesus Christ for you. And this work of Christ was so great and so complete that the devil has no rule over you ever, ever again. The chains in which you were kept were broken, and they can never be put on again. That's liberation. That's liberation. That's freedom. That's comfort that no one can take away. Look at two passages now of Scripture from John chapter 8, verse 34 through 36 first. Together, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Can you imagine the joy that comes to one who was not just a physical slave, but a spiritual slave to the devil? And the Lord says, "I'm taking you out. I'm taking you out. And when I take you out, you're never going to go back there. And he can never come and lay claim to you again, because I paid the Father for your sins, and therefore you are free forever." You talk about comfort. That is comfort. That's comfort in life and in death that can never, ever go away. Look now at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 together. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is, the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." This means, brothers and sisters, you cannot be controlled by the devil or any evil spirit, ever. In fact, the Bible says in Romans that not a hair can fall from your head. The Lord will keep you. The Lord Jesus said that not a hair can fall from your head without the notice and without the approval of your Father. And you don't even know the amount of hairs that fall from your head. And you get to my age, you lose a few more. And you don't even know the hairs that fall from your head. And they can't even fall without the approval of your Heavenly Father. He cares for every one. What a comfort. He not only promises, you see what he will do. Who can stop your hair from falling? When people get old and sickly and die, things fall apart. No man in this world can do that. But the Lord is saying, "I want to give you the comfort that none can take away. that no one in this world can give you. And that's our third point. We need comfort, and we can't have it because it's not in us. We have to look outside ourselves, and our pride sometimes stops us from doing so. Then we have to go to Jesus, who gives us comfort because he satisfied God's anger against us. But he doesn't just say, look, come on in, I paid for your sins, see you later. No, the Holy Spirit maintains, our third point, true comfort. And this comfort is that he gives to us is not just rescuing from death. This comfort continues with you to the ends of the earth. God nurses you back to spiritual health throughout your life. And the Holy Spirit will comfort you by sanctifying you, picking you up every time you fall down. He will continue to dress you with the clothes of righteousness, even when you get it messed up. He cleans you out. He saved you to bless you. And what a comfort that is. You know, who hasn't messed up in his life? Where we've broken God's law in egregious ways. Even the smallest is enough. But we bring shame to Christ by the way we live our lives, by the way we do our jobs, by the way we interact with our husbands, our wives, the way we've fallen in trouble with the church. We've all failed, but the Lord sends his Holy Spirit to pick us up. And then you cry out for forgiveness, and he brings you back. No matter how far you've fallen into the pit, the Lord brings you up. The devil cannot chain you. Look at what he does, in fact, throughout your life. This is the ultimate picture, not just picking you up from the muck, from the pit. Psalm 45, verse 13, together. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions, will follow her, shall be brought to you. We learned already today that God will give us fine gold and eye salve and clothing that are white and pure. These are all spiritual blessings that he continues to give you throughout your life. And then the Holy Spirit does more. He comforts you by assuring you that you have eternal security in your heart. Look at what the Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 39 and 40 together. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, what do we see here? This was not just a promise made by God the Son. This was a promise made by God the Father. And God the Father accomplished this promise by God the Son. That's the eternal security we have in him. Read Ephesians chapter 1. We're chosen by the Father. We're redeemed by the Son. We're sealed by the Spirit of God. Look also at John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29. Together, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. What does that mean? Security. I could hold something as tightly as I can, and somebody comes and pokes me in the ribs, I will release my hand. I can't even hold something for any length of time. Even if you put something in the securest bank, give people enough time, they will get in there. They'll break it open. They'll find what they're looking for and take it. But when something is in God's hands, that's security. You're marked property of the Savior. No one is able to take you out from God's hand. You are secure for eternity. That's comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says together, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Who's able to protect your car? I had a car stolen some years ago. My car's been broken into. At least 3 times we've had our cars broken into. There's nothing secure. I know some of you have lived in houses where people have tried to break in and have been successful sometimes, but not with the Lord. You don't have to worry. You have that true comfort that you are secured forever. And then the Holy Spirit will comfort you by providing for all your physical and spiritual and emotional needs in this life. Not just the spiritual needs for the end of life, not just this assurance that you belong to Jesus and you have eternity written in your hearts, but even for the smallest things. And God not only cares for the big things. Remember how the disciples tried to chase the children away? Your needs are not significant. Let the grown-ups come to the Lord. And he shows how he cared even for the little children. And he's put his arms around them and blessed them. Put them on his lap. He cares even for the smallest things. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31. Together, "Are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." He cares for what you don't even care for. Luke 21, verse 16 through 18. Together, "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost." What is the Lord saying here? I will keep you even through the most difficult times, even through sickness, even through unemployment and loneliness and frustration. I will keep you. I'll give you what you need in this life. And when you leave this life, you won't be going alone. Even the at the point of death, what does the Bible say? You won't have to go alone. There's a beautiful song, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone." Speaking of the loneliness of what happens when you are about to die. Now, I mentioned about all those people who died in the nursing homes, and we cringe when we think that they were alone when they died. They couldn't have relatives and friends to visit. But brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, those who are Christians did not die alone. The Lord was always with them to guide them, even as they closed their eyes and they drew their last breath. Jesus was with them by his Holy Spirit. That's a comfort for those who have lost loved ones. I heard today that an elder I know, he lost his father to COVID in a nursing home. But when you know Jesus, yes, it's sad that you couldn't be there, but Jesus was there with them by his Holy Spirit. So he doesn't just give you comfort and say, "Come to me, I'll rescue from the pit." He provides what you need now, and he provides what you need as you leave this world, and he provides what you need, or whatever you need after. And even when things seem like they're not good, someone said, "Well, how is it a comfort? I'm sick. How is it a comfort? I'm unemployed. How is it a comfort? I am lonely." Well, the Lord promised this. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says, "Together, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Do we always see it? Do we always agree with it? No. But that's what the Lord has promised. And you know his word is true. So if you lose a loved one in this life, if a relationship you had ended, the Lord has always a better thing in store for you, a better plan. And he always keeps his word. And he says, all things, every single thing that happens in your life, he will use for good. And then six, when you do go through troubles in this life, you have the right and are encouraged to call upon your Heavenly Father, and he will help you through Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit will come and be awakened in you and give you the right comfort that you need. You know, you can always talk to him. Family and friends will fail, but your God, no. That's why we see that verse in our catechism, Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, together. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the comfort. Yes, you can cry out to him and he will hear you, and more, he will assure you in your spirit that you are his. You will know you're his son. I can't give these types of comfort to my sons. I can't say I will always be there. I can't say I will always meet their needs. And even if I wanted to, I don't have the ability to do some of the things I might want to do. But God says, I've got this. I've got this. And that's why, as the Holy Spirit works in you, you will be able to say what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him till that day. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 say together, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 5:5 together. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You know what? That's the assurance we have. When we leave this world, we'll be in his presence. That's why we're able to say, I know that comfort. I know that comfort. Let's conclude. Everyone has a craving for comfort, though not all admit it. And we can't have the comfort that we are not natural source of comfort. Only Christ, who has fully paid for the sins of the world, can satisfy God's anger and work that true comfort in your heart, a comfort that continues throughout this life and will leave with you when you die and awaken in heaven. Let this message of Christ's comfort always be before your eyes. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you wouldn't forget your husband's birthday, even though he doesn't always do the things that he should. And even though he isn't as nice as he ought to be. And if you wouldn't forget someone who isn't always as nice, you wouldn't forget his birthday. And he only gives you meager comfort. Surely you will be more diligent to remember and thank the one who has given you eternal comfort through the cruel cross of Calvary. So when you are blessed with a warm and comfortable home, what good would it do you then to keep it all to yourself? What do people do if they have a nice and warm home? Come on over, enjoy the home, enjoy the warmth, enjoy the food, enjoy the fellowship. You want people to be there. So now that you have received this comfort from the Lord, don't you want to share it? I hope you do. So, do you share it? Do people in your workplace know that you're a Christian? You're a child of the Most High, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Does your dentist see the difference in your life? Have you had conversation with your dentist? Does he see by the way you live your life that you are different? You have that comfort. Ah, that's what they need. That's what you have. And that's what you should share. And if you're not a Christian, all you have are the things of this world, things that will fall apart, maybe get old, get stolen, or remain in this life after you die. But you can have true comfort that starts now and goes with you when you leave. And you can have this comfort if you ask God to count Christ's life of obedience and his shameful and painful death on the cross as yours. If you do, he will make you a royal child. That's comfort. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. We ask that you will now strengthen us to receive your truth, that we will live our lives to the glory of our Savior. Having received of your comfort that we would share with others, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.